Thank you too. I'd like to call this special meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Kenyatta Independent School District to order. It is June the 25th at 6:14. Mr. Coronado will be joining us soon. And Tony, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Casares?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Strauss?
Here.
Item 2A is discussion and possible action regarding Kenyatta bond accountability recommendation regarding bond project management. Dr. Martinez-Matthews.
Board President Searles, board members, audience members, Jennifer and I come before you to discuss the email which was on your chair. It was also in your packet over the weekend from Mr. Maxfield, the chair of CBAC. Mr. Maxfield could not join us tonight, and you'll remember he was on the agenda to speak at our last board meeting but had to leave. And we did offer the opportunity for him to come back tonight. And basically what he said to me was he would just appreciate it if we would take up his email, that everything he wanted to say at the board meeting was in the email. And so, Ms. Searles, I'll your direction, I can go through it, and we can talk about the points. There's basically four options that he's laying out, or four options that are available.
Go ahead.
And we'll go that. Okay, what the CBAC wants is they want Jennifer to have an assistant, which you will take up later tonight, finally, in a specialist position. We've already talked about it, and actually you've already given approval at a director position, but you wanted us to bring back to you a job description, and also the possibility, a couple of board members had asked that possibly we make it at a lower level as opposed to a high-level director. We've done both, and we will bring that back. The CBAC wanted that to occur. That was a recommendation of theirs. But then their main recommendation is that besides Jennifer and besides the new position, which we're recommending to be a specialist position, there would be a third leg of leadership, third person or third entity, that who would have the sole responsibility of, on a day-to-day basis, overseeing the implementation of the bond. In doing so, we have discussed with the CBAC, and the CBAC has discussed with us, that's probably the better way of putting it, several options. Option one, which we have already moved forward with, at least initially taking a look at, is an RFP for a project manager utilizing a professional vendor, a professional corporate vendor that would come in, a company like, just to pull a name out of a hat, like Honeywell, or Chevron coming in and being a project manager for the entire thing, never becoming an employee for the district but working as a third party. The RFP has gone back. We are actually ready to bring that to the board. It is prohibitively expensive, but it is certainly an option for us. Option two, which seems to be the one that the CBAC has really centered on, is the notion of hiring an individual, an in-district employee who would take on this duty and be paid only during the time frame that the bond was in play. As soon as the bond finished and we finished all the projects, the person would be dismissed and the person would be hired under a contract in which that was understood. That is the main recommendation of CBAC. Option three is the option that I stumbled upon, and a couple of you did as well, at San Antonio 2 weeks ago, and that is that TASB offers a consultancy program in which they manage bond projects through consultancy, coming out to the district once or twice a month, staying in touch with the leadership, helping with problems, making sure the bids are all correct, making sure the paperwork is all done, providing the closeout forms, project management. But instead of being in the district every day, they do it on a consultancy basis. They do this at many districts around the state, and have had a lot of success. The attractive thing about the consultancy through TASB is that it is much less expensive. They can do it, his term, dimes on the dollar. He didn't say pennies on the dollar, but he said dimes on the dollar. and it can be paid for out of bond funds. Option one, the RFP with the professional vendor, can be paid for out of bond funds. Option three, TASB, can be paid out of bond funds. The question is whether or not the full-time employee probably could not be paid out of bond funds. It would have to be paid out of M&O. The fourth option is to leave everything alone, to not take the recommendation of CBAC and simply hire Jennifer, her number two, at the director of the specialist level, and then just have the two of them do it. Administration is interested in options one, two, or three. We would love to implement one of those options and not go to option four, especially considering the state that we've already got ourselves in over the last year with it. We would love to get a third leg of leadership in utilizing one of the three options. We can go in any way with those three. We really don't have a pure preference, although we do know that CBAC highly recommends option two, in which we hire someone on a contract until the bond. So that's what we have, and if you read Mr. Maxfield's email, it's basically outlining a lot of that.
Dr. Murphy, why does this person under number two, option
yes.
two, have to be an in-district employee that's contract goes away, then contract comes back? Why can't it be an independent person like, you know, through maybe SCORE, we find a retired engineer, a retired estimator. I mean, maybe they'd just be unemployed.
Jennifer?
One of the reasons for that is three most compelling reasons to hire somebody in-house is basically cost control and, like, an efficient, expedited delivery for projects. Your cost, even if it was a firm, it's many of those, they're not, you can't find those kind of people. A lot of those firms are not local, and so you have to pay their traveling expenses, their per diem expenses. Another reason is because the in-house, you need somebody in-house that has access to a lot of our internal processes, because a lot of the work involves things that we do internally to facilitate the process. And a portion of it is writing some of those processes itself, or reviewing some of our templates and things like that. Also, another reason is you have a sole source of accountability. If you hire a third-party firm, right now, if you have somebody in-house, you can say, okay, facilities, Jennifer and somebody else, why isn't this on time? Why isn't this on schedule? Why isn't it under budget? You know? But you're diversifying your responsibility, and a lot of times with those third-party firms, will be like, the in-house staff didn't.
But not firm. I just said an individual. Not a firm.
Right.
Just an individual.
Right.
Would you consider that person to be a full-time person with us, or just a local person?
Contract employee. You know, you're going to get $50,000, you're going to get a dollar, you're going to get something, and you're going to do this, and when it's gone, you go away.
Well, that would come out of M&O, correct? Or could you hire?
I don't know. If it's an outside third-party consultant.
If it's an outside third-party consultant. That's kind of the TASB model, but what you're saying, Ms. Searles, would be a different configuration of the TASB model, in that it wouldn't be TASB, it'd be like a local engineer.
I'm just, you know, putting it on the floor for thought.
Yeah. If
I'm not mistaken, there any reason not to?
Ernesto Armendariz did that.
Yeah.
Prior to his employment with Canyatillo, where he was going around being a consultant like that on bond projects.
Didn't work so well?
Well, no, I think Clint liked him so much that Clint wound up hiring him to be their person prior to coming to Canyatillo.
And is there, let me ask you another thing, is there a reason we haven't seen the RFP?
No.
I think we need to. I think that, I mean, we asked for it, we got it, and we haven't seen it.
That's a very good point, and we apologize. I think the stick in the fly in the ointment has been how CBAC has switched their recommendation, which threw us for a loop too. CBAC was solidly behind.
Yeah.
The RFP initially, and now they're not. Not that CBAC controls, and I understand concerns there.
Mm-hmm.
We apologize, and we certainly can bring it. We had four responders to the RFP, and we can certainly bring that forward.
I think I would feel most comfortable seeing that before we went further, because that's what we called for.
Yes, ma'am.
And we haven't seen it. I mean, maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree. I don't know if anyone else feels that way. Yes, Monica?
No, I want to make a comment, and I know you can't speak for Mr. Maxfield because he's not here, but I do have issues with him recommending and proper recommendations in this report, because they're not a decision-making body. They're an oversight committee, and I don't understand what he's saying, where he's received sketchy and contradictory information. Is that where did the district drop the ball on that, or why is he... I just have a problem with him saying that they're going to make recommendations. I don't think that that was the intent of that committee when it was brought together. I think that we brought them together to have openness and transparency, so we were all on the same page and they could reflect that to the community. I don't think that we assembled that committee so that they could tell the district what to do and tell the board what to do. I have issues with that. I don't like them making recommendations. They're not here every day. They don't work here. I appreciate the time that they are giving. I know it's time consuming. I get it. But it bothers me because he's saying make proper recommendations, and I have seen them hardly at any of our board meetings, first of all. I mean, I'm sure he goes to all the CBAC committee meetings, but it kind of rubs me the wrong way. I don't like it. I don't think that that's what they were, the intent of that committee. I don't think it was for that. I think it was just to have openness and transparency, not for them to be a decision-making committee or, you know, dictate what they want us to do. I feel a little bit perturbed by it.
Yes, sir.
Just one of the things, I mean, they came to us, they made a recommendation that we, you know, go out for an RFP on a bond oversight company, and then now they're coming back and reversing that. I think what we need to do is have direct communication with them, Dr. Murphy. Their job is an oversight committee, and now that we have, I believe, capable individuals on staff, and we're still a little bit early on, we're going to be getting another employee, and so it's kind of early to just, you know, start, you know, getting all the options ready. We have to let Ms. Matthews take control of the projects, and I think she needs to communicate even maybe with our internal auditor to make sure that we close out and we look at auditing the past bond projects and where we're at, and then where we need to move forward. If I'm correct, your job in the past was to oversee bond programs or project management?
That's correct. Yeah, so, that's correct.
And that's why I'm gonna look at possibly having more committee meetings when it comes to that, so we could get it straightened out and have everybody on the same page. Looking at timelines, looking at, hopefully we could do a GAT, and we could, you know, look at what was done, what wasn't done, and what needs to be done, so that way we can move forward. I think it's a little too early to add, especially another individual from our maintenance and operation budget. And then the other thing is, I'm not comfortable for somebody just to have a bond, project manager, which is going to take a big chunk of the budget, and knowing that we lowballed a lot of the projects is going to take out from the direct impact of either building those facilities or anything that needs to be done. So I think what I would ask the board to do is there needs to be clarification to the Bond Accountability Committee, but their same frustrations were our same frustrations, and what we need to do is move forward. We have somebody capable on board. We need to reevaluate those projects and let's start moving forward. And we're already in the middle of summer, and we need to look at what projects we can do right now. But we need to reevaluate everything before we start making bigger decisions on this.
Okay, so I totally understand what you're saying. Let me try one other thing. I kind of have anticipated, I mean, just to be honest with you, the board's reaction to some of this stuff. And that's why when I was in San Antonio, I kind of got excited about the TASB model, where a consultancy, they're not here every day, they're much cheaper, they're a nonprofit. We love TASB, and TASB is willing to come out in July and meet with the board, meet with the CBAC, whoever we wanted to meet with, and present kind of what they could do in a much more inexpensive consultancy way.
Ms. Mendoza?
I concur with Dr. Murphy. I sat in those meetings, mm-hmm.
and I did too.
I was thoroughly impressed. I mean, they're respected and
responsible,
and they're cheaper than what we're going to see. So I would entertain them coming out and talking to us to see what they could do.
Madam Chair, if I might, real quick. Uh-huh. I think what we need to do is internally get it together before we start looking at different options. And I don't have a problem with TASB, but I want to make sure that internally we know where we're at on our projects and where we're going to go. Once we know where that is, and if we're not catching up with those projects or those timelines, then that's something that we need to reevaluate at that time. But I think we do need to have that option. I mean, my thing is, I don't have a problem looking at the RFP and selecting a firm just in case we need it, but I don't want to use it just to use it. And, even if we do get TASB, I think what we need to first do is fix the mess that we currently have and then move forward.
Ms. Gonzalez, do you have any?
We have some issues that we have to address internally, and I agree with Ms. Rodriguez.
What I'm wondering, because I see both sides to this coin, and I agree wholeheartedly, we need to have a list of what you said. What's been asked for, what's been completed, what is in, we need an updated, accurate accounting of what's going on. We haven't had that.
We haven't.
I mean, we could all say, well, make excuses.
You remember when BB gave his presentation, which he had his whole department.
Yes.
But, that's been 3 months.
It
and
has
so there's been.
Been
stuff since then.
And I don't know that all that was totally accurate.
Well, no.
I mean, what he said was accurate, but there were things, he had to pick up the ball from the problems we were experiencing. So I think we need ASAP an accurate, up-to-date accounting of where we are financially and facilities-wise. Is that correct?
Construction-wise.
Construction-wise, where we are.
An RFQ.
And ASAP on that. Where are we? And then, in the meantime, begin to contact TASB, because I agree with these ladies. We saw them in San Antonio with you, Dr. Murphy. They're good.
We just don't want that one guy.
Okay. That, maybe these things could work together. But with the accurate, because how are we going to tell them what we even want them to do if we don't know what it is? Y'all can come here, but we don't know what we want you to do. Just, something. We'll work on that bond. We need to know exactly what they're going to be tasked with.
Okay.
So does that sound appropriate to the board?
Okay. Madam Chair, if I might, just a couple of questions. How long do you think depending on what the board and the administration working maybe with the auditor to actually audit that stuff and then see where we're at in the process and then to come to a complete, say, this is where we're at in the bond program, whether it's the bond 2006, whether it's the 2011, where we're at, and then that way we could have the whole accounting structure and then we know where we're at in the construction projects, everything. How much time would you need to give us?
I think if you gave me about a month, you could look at the reporting process and you could see from there what kind of tweaks you wanted to see as far as how we present, so if we get into a routine, then it would be a kind of like a system, so that then we're focusing not so much on the way it's organized or but strictly on the progress of the projects itself, because it's a format that we'll all be used to.
And in a month you could bring not only the reporting mechanism but also a report as to where we are on all projects.
Yes.
An accurate, up-to-date, concise, and not one that's this thick, that we used four nails and one screwdriver, and, we needed two people to do that. Not, we want to know where the bond money's going. We want to know where we are, and has the stuff we done already, is it in ruins because there was no continuity? We need to know exactly where we're at, because I don't know.
I
Madam Chair, Mr. Rodriguez, you were mentioning you want to start internally, and do you, would that also entail the committee meetings, having it start through the committee meetings?
Yeah.
And so that we can get the information that, we need?
Yeah, we're going to, I think we're going to start meeting more regularly. And I had talked to Tony, I believe, was it?
Today.
It was today, but what was the date we were looking at? At least to get some type of draft, and then we could have some discussion on how the reporting and, the thing.
That was Thursday, July 12th.
Would that give you just not all the projects, but just say, okay, this is how we're going to look at it? The last one.
He wants the reporting template, how you want to report by July 12th.
I'm halfway through a template already.
Okay, and then that way we could discuss it. Because when we had Mr. Armendariz, we discussed a template on looking at, so you could look at some of that and see what else we could add. And that way there's strict, you know, we have to have constant communication across. And I think that's a part of the problem when it came to the past. So we need to clarify all that, and then we need to move forward.
Okay.
And Mr. Rodriguez, what time frame were you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at, you know, some type of form where we could say whether it's a GATT chart, and the GATT would have, this is RFQ, and the same thing we asked Ernesto. This is RFQ, this is the construction period, this is when we're looking at, whatever it is.
But I mean the time frame that you want all this to be ready, so that you're ready, that we're ready.
Well, within a month, she said that would be sufficient time.
But with you?
I mean, whatever we're able to get. I mean, the sooner the better, but I'm able to work with the month. And then what we'll do in the next meeting is just look at the chart and see if we want anything else or any other questions, so that way we could all be on board, and then we could just move forward. And that way there's a constant, you know, we'll just look at the chart and see.
I think we'll need more than one committee?
Yes. Possibly two.
Okay. It seems like in the first meeting she'll bring a draft of the template. You guys can tweak it however you want. And in the next meeting, she'll tweak it however you want, and then also have data filled in there. And probably in the first meeting, she won't have too much data.
No, we just want to make sure what we want to communicate from administration to us is making sure all the information that we need is on that chart, and then we can move forward. And we might tweak it a month, 2 months, if something else happens, but it's still a work in progress.
Clear, concise, accurate key to what we're asking for. Not muddied up, not muddled. Yeah, not cumbersome. Thank you. The board feel comfortable with that? That Ms. Matthews, Mr. Coronado, good evening. We're working on the new business, the CBAC letter. And Dr. Murphy gave us like a 1, 2, 3, 4 of things we could do. We've talked about those a little bit, and now what we're saying is we'd like Ms. Matthews to come back. We don't know where we're at. You know, we need to know where we're at before we can tell somebody where to take us or what to watch over. So she will come back in a month's time, actually probably a little sooner, on the 12th with the like a rough draft of a template for how she's going to be reporting to us on a regular basis. And in the meantime, we've thought about possibly engaging TASB to come in and give us a talk about what they could do to oversee our bond project as a third party that would come in and be, you know, an extra set of eyes to say, you're doing this, you're doing that, and oh, gee, you put all that in wrong before, you know, it gets away. So that's sort of where we are.
Okay.
Mr.
Rodriguez, on the 12th, would you like us also at that point to bring our RFP?
It might be the 12th, or it might be, what's that, Tuesday, the next?
The next Tuesday is the 17th, which is our regular board meeting.
The 17th, so it would have to be the week, unless we do that on Monday. What's Monday?
Yeah,
16. Is that okay, do you think? Yeah? Monday at 16.
Okay. Can I call tomorrow? I don't know.
Yeah, you could call.
Okay. I'll call you tomorrow, Tony.
We also have in the same time frame the approval of the design of the pre-K-8.
which you had for the 16th, or what the community meeting on that evening, we have that scheduled.
What time?
Yeah, you're getting a, we want you guys to take a look at the pre-K design one more time.
Can we switch it to the community meeting to the 12th?
Can you wait and let me see what's
okay,
on
yeah.
my calendar and,
and if not, we could get it together.
Mr. Rodriguez, when we get to your committee meeting, whatever that is, do you want the RFP brought forward at the committee meeting?
RFP. Do you also want to look at that, or you
sure.
want to? How about internally we look at it, at what we need, and then you could give us a recommendation if we need to move forward with that RFP.
When you say internally, Mr. Blanco, when the RFP is ready to go, can I give it to him in a Friday pack, or does that be presented? Give it to him. The problem is, guys, it's like
yeah.
this much literature. It's a stack of books.
Ms. Matthews has.
Generally, whenever we do these, I do a table, and you can see, like, we do a list of items that we decide
Thank
to
you.
Select, and then you can see each firm, they're in alphabetical order, and then you can see a summary. So if you're interested in something in particular, you can just look it up in the table. If you want to confirm it for yourself or dig through it for further details, but usually I put a spreadsheet attached with
each. Yeah. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Sound good? That would be very appropriate. Thank you.
Can you get that ready for this Thursday?
Yes.
Okay, that'll be in the packet on Thursday.
Okay.
And then we'll wait word as to whether or not we put it on the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the template, and then the last thing is.
I think I called. What did I call it? What was it?
It was a timeline passed, and I mean it's pretty much the same thing to cover that, right?
Oh, I don't have that list in front of me, but it was the timelines of
what else
the
was that,
summer
Doctor?
Projects, and then the timelines of the rest of the project.
Yeah. That we could just, I mean, we could reword it different, but we all know where we're coming from now, so that way we can move forward. What else, Doc?
There's one other thing I wanted to ask if you wanted to bring forward, but for some reason it's sticking. I can't remember what it is. I'll remember it.
Okay. So possibly, Dr. Murphy, you could communicate. Go ahead.
It's TASB. So am I hearing direction to call TASB at this point, or would you like me to wait and not call TASB?
I mean, there's no problem with calling them and getting
information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, set up a meeting for whenever they can come.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
And Dr. Murphy, I think it'd be appropriate if you would communicate with the CBAC. Thank you. Thank you for their input.
just say we're you know, we've hired somebody, Ms. Matthews, and we're going to be hiring somebody else. And we don't know what we're going to get, and we're going to make sure we do it right. And so at this point, we're looking at all options.
And no decision. And
yes, Mr. Coronado?
You know, part of what we've communicated to CBAC was that the reason we were hiring an additional person is so that our director could actually focus primarily on the bond project right now. If I recall that, you can take the minutes from the CBAC. I don't know if you were there, Ms. Searles, but I mean, that was communicated to them.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted somebody else, and he said, well, I think maybe the best thing to
do I wasn't there for that one. You're right.
Is for us to hire somebody else to help our director, so our director can be more involved right now with the bond. And they seem to like that. Now they want an additional person.
Yeah, to be clear, Mr. Cornell, and I appreciate that, and I remember that moment as well. But they are calling for a third body.
I understand that we, you know, but they didn't call for a third body back then.
Initially,
they called for another body, and we were giving them another body, and, you know, they want to keep adding personnel. They're not up here. We are.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I'd rather spend that money and save it for teachers, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to come out of the bond, that's fine, but we've already spent money out of our M&O for another person so that we can help that.
Yes, sir.
I understand that, you know, and we want to take a lot of input from them, but we did give them that other person already.
Yes, sir. It's twice as much as we had in 2006.
That should be communicated to them.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I don't know what the rest of the board thinks, but that's my opinion.
Okay, Tony, I think we chewed on that one. Let's move to...
Thank you, Board. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you, Ms. Matthews. We look very forward to.
Dr. Murphy? Item B is 2012-13 budget presentation.
Do you want us to go down there? Or?
No.
Well, we have the full
part.
Okay.
I gave you a copy of the link. Good evening. In today's presentation, I will be reviewing the following items. Basically, property tax rate and property valuations, our revenue estimates, our budgets sorted out by campus and department, by functions and object code. I will be providing some budget priorities as have been discussed with different committees and organizations within the district. We'll discuss revenue less expenditures. We will then move forward to the annual review of our board policy CD, which discusses our annual operating budget and what is our adequate fund balance, as well as GASP 54 fund balance designation. On this slide, which has been part of pretty much every single presentation I've done on budget, is giving you a breakdown of our campus enrollment projections as we see for the year 12-13. We're estimating enrollment of growth of about 2%, giving us about 6,156 students. Our per capita campus allocations are done by $150 per student at the high school level, $100 at the middle school level, and $90 at the elementary. We've also got a breakdown of administration, counselor, and nursing allocation. In addition to this allocation by per capita, we also allocate funds for state comp ed funds. We also allocate for custodial UI elementary burden. On this slide, I'm presenting to you our property tax rate for the 12-13 school year. We are looking at a maintenance and operations of $1.17 and an interest and sinking or debt service of that 25 cents per $100 value of community homes, giving a total proposed tax rate of $1.30.
Ms. Aguirre, this is the exact same tax rate as last year?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
On this slide, I've got the calculated rollback tax rate. Basically, we have assessed preliminary values of $1.6 billion. We will expect to have the final certified at the end of July of this next month. We've got a debt service amount that's going to be paid out of the taxes levy on property taxes of $5.2 million. The remainder is made up of IFA, EDA, and some fund balance contributions to make up our $6.5 million debt service payment for the year that is coming up. The impact of tax rates on our average homeowner. I have a comparison of 11 to the average appraised value of our homes in the Canadillo area from last this current year, 11-12, to our next year, 2012-13. Our average appraised value is at $144,000 versus $140,000 last year. Consider the homestead exemption. We are looking at taxable value of $129,588 for this upcoming school year. That's an increase of $4,000. Taking our tax rate, we're looking at property tax levy per home for your average home of $1,843 for the year. That's an increase of $57.
And Ms. Aguirre, that is not due to us raising the taxes.
No.
That is due to the Central Appraisal District raising the appraisal values of our properties.
Yes.
Thank you.
On this slide is our 2012 preliminary property valuation amount of $1.6 billion that I mentioned earlier. This is updated as of June 7th. And this is an increase of about 9.5% from our last year's valuations.
Was there an increase from that? What was the first projected on our?
We were at 1.59.
So the 1.5, and now we're at 1.6.
Yes.
So the total increase
It's not even finished yet.
Yeah. And I just wanted to see the difference on both, because my thing was on the list that we had of projects in comparison to actually balancing the budget. But I'll wait for that to come up.
On this next slide for linear recovery evaluations, I have listed that $1.6 billion that I mentioned. When you take that amount and you divide it by the $100 per home, multiply it by our current tax rate, and then multiply it by the 98% tax collection that we normally get, we are looking at revenue for our maintenance and operation of $18,900,000. And this is for our maintenance and operation. So our revenue is at 18.9.
And that is significantly increased over last year from $1.04 to $1.06.
So the blue slide is our projected revenue estimates. These are for local sources, state and federal. And we are looking at local sources, an estimated $20.9 million. That's considering the 18.9 that I just mentioned on property taxes, along with other collections that we have out of local sources. Under state sources, we're looking at $26 million in state aid. If you notice, it did decrease, and it's attributed to our valuations are coming in. Federal sources, we did have an increase of $4.4 million. So overall, we have a $3.4 million increase in revenues out of state, local, and federal funds. This is considering an ADA increase of 2% from 5,600 that is taken from our October snapshot to the 5,700 projecting for next year.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
What was the difference? And I know it's probably the years above, but as far as the ADA, our projection for this current year?
For 11-12?
Yes.
We don't have
where are we on the...
We were at least maintaining. I mean, the last time I checked, we were at about 95.1, which was how we ended last year and the year prior. I don't have a final number for right now.
You don't have tenants.
ADA? Oh, our number. I'm sorry.
Yeah, our number. Did we hit our projection?
We were short by about 60.
60
students. ADA for ADA of 60.
Which translates into how much money?
I guess that would probably
be like 1%.
300 grand.
About 300.
300,000. So, but that's already been.
That's already because we go low.
In other words, have we reserved that money out?
Yes. I always go low on our ADA cap and projection so that we don't face our having to pay back any funds. And this is the second year that we have paid in.
Okay, I guess maybe I didn't ask my question right. Not our projection, but rather our budgeted amount of ADA for this past year.
Our budgeted amount was about 60 students and. We budgeted, and what we came, the student ADA was less, like about 60 students.
Than what we budgeted for.
Than what we budgeted. But because we do, we watch our expenditures as far as when we have deadline cutoffs, we don't end up short on funds because we do have our monitor, our expenditure data.
We reserve.
So we reserve.
That's for the ADA.
Yes.
And actually, that's a good thing to do because I think probably after the first 3 or 4 months we had to do that, or after the first semester.
Right. Yes. And the idea will be to monitor as our teams, our numbers start coming in and how much we've allocated to campuses and whether we're off or we've over allocated or we've cut them short under projections as the students enroll in their ADA.
They don't ask us to pay interest on them.
No.
All right.
This next slide is budget allocations by campus. This has, of course, the salaries are included in this amount that you see. If you see it significantly higher, it's because last year's adoption, and I mentioned this a couple of presentations ago, last year's adoption, if you remember, the compensation package wasn't adopted till the following week. Mm-hmm. All the salary or excess salary and monies were put into a district-wide allocation. So at this point, we've already allocated it into the each campus, and so it seems like they had a large increase in funds. But most of it is the salary that made up the difference. They do have additional SCE funds here as well, so that also give them an increase in their campus allocation. And this next slide is a budget allocation by department. On this one, I'm going to mention a couple of the variances, and if you see one that you'd like additional information, I can share with you. Basically, the same goes as I mentioned earlier with the salary allocation. If you look at the district-wide, which is the very bottom line, there's a difference of $1.6 million in change. That's because that's where the salary increase for the 11-12 school year was originally adopted into. And then as the compensation package was approved the following week, then we had to pull the funds out of that account and to our department, and then went ahead and put it into the correct organization. So that's where that big disparity is in that allocation. I will mention we had an increase in our tax collection fees that we paid to the Central Appraisal District. Basically, our appraisals went up, and so the fee that we have to pay also goes up along with the appraisal.
Because it was an appraisal
right.
year, correct?
Yes.
Next year will not be, so it will be commensurate.
Under textbooks, if you notice, we decreased by $42,000. Last year, they were allocated funds for a vehicle, and they've got their van that transports the vehicles. So this year, they don't get that additional $40,000 there. You'll notice that under public information, they had an increase in funds there as well, and that's the employee recognition funding is set aside there in the event that's where the board decides to go for this upcoming year. Under the internal audit, you'll see a $57,000 increase as well, and that was largely attributed to additional staffing that is being considered for the audit. Last year, we did not have an associate superintendent, and this year we do, so there you see that increase in funds of $223,000 for salaries as well as operating budget. You will notice pupil transportation, they have an increase of $116,000. Along with salary increases there, you also see that as he's reporting more routes to the state, he's actually getting additional funding from the state. So that's very good news there. Under external funding, there's an increase in $71,000, and that's just because Ms. Grant, the compliance director, we went ahead and made that funding like an organization with the external funding coordinator and the compliance director. So the funding or the allocation of their salary is under the same organization of 912. So, but they are two different entities. They're not within the same department.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
So, Ms. The external funding coordinator,
they stay within, the compliance director stays under human resources, and external funding stays within finance. However, because their sources, their functions are similar in the sense that they're under compliance, we allocated them together. When our functions, our allocations have to match departments, and so, for example, if we had, a function 11, which is instructional, and then we had some IT techs that were assigned to campuses or working at the campus level, but had an organization of 728. Through the audit and the FASRAG guidance, we had to separate function 11 from the organization 728. So we had to reassign their function to that code. That's simply what we did here. As far as the organization and the function they're paid out of, we had to align them so that they're according to the accounting standards that are lined up for us through TEA. If you'll notice under curriculum and instruction, there is a significant increase there as well. And that one's allocated, that they have an additional state compensatory education allocation that they did not have in prior years. And then under testing and assessments, that was another area that had to have a new organization designated because of the function that they provide to the district. And so that's why the allocation was created. So any other questions as far as this?
What is this?
Just testing. a salary and a small operating budget. I would like to mention on career and technology education, there was a decrease there, if you noticed, and that is due to the fact that we had to transfer two of the teachers. They closed down two units because they doubled up on the biology. And so by those two teacher FTEs going up to the middle school, we cannot fund them out of state CTE. So we're going to lose students or enrollment. And so we've projected, I projected 100,000, 100 students less in the career and technology program, which of course will decrease the allocation that they are entitled to. So I'll just monitor their enrollments, and then based on what their enrollment is, we either increase or decrease their budget to meet the required expenditures that the state requires that we have.
So,
yes.
On the food service, that went up.
That went up because their revenue did increase this year. And it's based on the food service budget. What we do is based on the revenue that she has or make, you know, based on the food and the meals that she provides, which obviously have increased because she had additional revenue from the federal government. We end up increasing her budget as the federal, you know, her budget goes directly to food service. So as the government's giving her additional funds, we
And on transportation?
Transportation is largely attributed to that. When he does his reporting for the year as far as the routes that the services he provides, the state actually increases the allotment. I know that 2 years ago we were at 350,000 and they are now allocating 500,000. And it's just every year as he reports, you know, the routes more accurately, it's definitely making an impact in our revenue.
Okay.
This next allocation is by class object. As I mentioned before, our expenditures are classified by salaries, which is at the 6,100 level. We have contracted services, general supplies, other operating expenditures, and then capital outlay. So as you can see, the largest sum of our budget is attributed to salaries. Of the 51 million that we are projecting in revenues, 41 of it goes to salaries. And for the most part, you'll see that contracted services actually decreased by slightly, but it didn't decrease a little. Our general supplies increased by 9%. And then our other operating expenditures did also decrease by about 200,000. Under the blue section, I have the 6,500, which is debt service, and that is basically what our payment will be to for all the existing districts' debt as far as the bonds go, so the 2006-11 and prior year bonds. This next slide is budget by function. And as I was mentioning, certain functions have to be designated to certain organizations. And so you can see the different functions, you know, from instruction being function 11, function 23 being administrative, and so on and so forth. I did add the function 71 that I know in prior years we hadn't been adding. However, it existed for debt service. And so I did go ahead and you know, indicate it at the bottom of the presentation as a separate account because it is out of a different fund that you also adopt, but it's fund 599 versus the local budget. Any questions on the function? Okay. This next slide is a combination of recommendations made or decided upon based on the needs assessments that were held with the different campuses. Other discussions through personnel committee, through the superintendent and board of trustees recommendation. They're combined here. I did provide a copy of a memo that was provided to you back on May 17th that combines the different positions that were board approved and then others that were discussed and brought forward as presentation or through the personnel committee and recommendations. But not personnel as in administrative personnel, not the board personnel.
Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
I had to ask Dr. Murphy right now regarding, since you requested by personnel committee.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Murphy, he says your personnel committee, you're planning to bring this after the fact to personnel committee, or what is it?
When I indicated personnel, it was the administrative personnel committee. That's what that means, not the board personnel policy committee. Pardon me for the confusion.
Well, like I said before, our plan is that in the July instruction committee, that we would have a review of all new positions, because any new position has to be approved by the board before it is actually hired.
So this would be an after the fact?
Well, no. Who on here has already been hired?
Well, but you put your personnel committee, and right now you said, we're approving the, of course, we're approving the budget.
But it would come to you before we actually, like for instance, like we've done with the number two in facilities. We've approved it internally, but you guys are now looking at the job description, you're approving the level, you're approving whether or not we actually get it. And as these positions come forward, they would come to you for approval in that way as well.
We're approving the levels then?
Well, yeah, because when we come to you with a new position, we make a recommendation.
Okay. Because we haven't even seen the minutes. Personnel, Central Office Personnel Committee.
In the July Instruction Committee, we will bring you a full update on new positions, going back to this and going forward from there. And we'll have a full discussion about it. If you'd like me to give you something, the minutes for the Personnel Committee meetings. Ms. Brigham?
Yes. We do take them, so I will update that with Ms. Castle.
And you'll be getting a full update in your next committee meeting. The question is going to be when we're going to have that actual meeting, because of this calendar right now. Mm-hmm. Really
4 days.
I did mention that blue little note there where it says that it's incorporated into the budget, however, until the position's hired, that money is just sitting right over that allocation. Necessarily,
it's already committed.
Anything else on this
side? Thank you. Just on the instruction, we increased by about 5% from last year. And where does that increase?
You want by function?
Yes.
As I mentioned, when we had the salaries. Last year, we adopted them all under a function 99 until the board, you know, it was approved by the board, and then we actually transferred into the different accounts. That's why you see a larger increase in that function 11, because that's what most of the employees are allocated into, and so when the salary increase is provided, that's where it goes. In addition, we've already given the current year the proposed or upcoming 12-13 salary is also now included by function, so that's where you see the additional function.
So is that, why is the function 99 stayed the same?
Well, pulled it out of the, under the function. And why did it increase by 320, is that what you're saying?
You're saying function 11 was increased by 5% because last year we put it in function 99.
We do have some employees coded into the function. I'm sorry. Under this, function 99 is related to the workers' comp that we pay out. And we did have an increase in workers' comp and unemployment due to the
you had said.
So we had to allocate more funding for that.
But the function 11 under instruction, it was increased by 5%. You said that was taken out from function 99?
No, organization, district-wide, I apologize. Under the department, you see the district-wide, that's a 999. If you go back to the slide, two slides back. The increase in by 5% is on the, under the function allocation is due to salary increases.
Okay.
And additional personnel, the teachers.
So that was decreased and moved to function 11, correct? That's all I have for you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
As I was talking to Martha Carrasco, and I don't want to give false information, And so Martha needs to explain and delve into the question that Letty had about the additional positions.
If you don't mind.
Because I don't want to say something that isn't true.
Please, Ms. Carrasco.
I'm sorry, I wasn't in the room when the question was asked. This
the question dealt with this. If we could go back a slide to additional positions, please. And what has been hired, what has not been hired, what has been approved, recommended. Can you just give us a rundown on that? And I apologize, I just want to make sure.
Well, most of these positions were in anticipation of the new budget for the new year. So most of these positions have not been filled. We're currently posting for them and interviewing for them to get ready to hire in July.
Ms. Carrasco, one of the questions was, like, for instance, the inventory specialists for facilities and transportation. That's a new position.
Yes, sir. And
that would have to come in front of the board.
Yes, and in these positions, I don't know if you have a copy or you don't.
Yes.
Okay. So the top ones have already been discussed with the board, with the board committee. The bottom ones, some of these just went to the for further discussion to the personnel committee last week, and some of these will be coming before the board committee whenever the next meeting is. And by the way, all the minutes for those committee meetings are current, except for the one for last week. And once we meet again and approve those, we will be receiving those.
Does that answer your question, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Prosper. I just didn't want
to. I have a question. For the assistant auditor,
this memo was done on May 17th, and so since then, I know that we've had some changes in personnel. As far as I know that when Mr. Rodriguez was hired, at that point the board decided to go with the staff auditor rather than an assistant. So of course this one will not be showing up for the committee. That's why I said some of these positions, you know, like the director of facilities and transportation, we'll talk about this later, but we'll change the title to it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
On this next slide, we have budget priorities that were compiled by recommendations made by DAC, leadership, and cabinet. These are already part of the budget, and we've discussed these at length in prior meetings regarding technological upgrades, fine arts, focus on pre-K-8 funding, library resources, technology, competitive compensation package, of which everything has been considered and included into that budget. On this next slide, we have additional budget priorities. And the first two items, we have increased to stipend amounts, and that was a discussion that was the May meeting, May 4 meeting. And then we've got the staff auditor and director of facilities and transportation. These items would be incorporated or are incorporated into the budget because you don't want to consider fund balance or any other type of funding for employee salaries. Then I have, we were also directed to go ahead and itemize or designate, prioritize the other additional budget priorities from district-wide technology infrastructure, district-wide furniture, laptops, field trip funding. They were also increased up to $2,000 per campus, so on and so forth. These were itemized with the intent of student impact first and foremost. And so they're outlined, and those are totaled up to $863,000.
And just say it again for me. The field trips are in addition, over and above.
Yes.
$2,000.
This would be in addition.
Okay. Thank you.
On this slide, we've got our projected revenues versus our expenditures. We have projected revenues of $51.4 million for our 12-13 school year. And we have budgeted expenditures of $51.1 million. Revenues plus expenditures of about $284,000.
Now, going back to the budget priorities, where I listed the two positions for auditor, a staff auditor, and director of facilities and transportation, which totaled $195,000, you take the revenue less expenditures of $284,000, subtract the $195,000, and you get a balance of $89,000 available for additional designations or to leave as a contingency plan amount in an account in case some things were to come up.
And if you could go back a slide. We have not paid for this yet.
No.
Correct?
No, not the bottom part.
$863,000 we have not bought. So Ms. Searles, your item about field trips and all that, it's there, but we have not designated for it.
Okay.
So going to the next slide, we need $863,000, but you'll see we only have $89,000.
Okay. This slide was when we had a second option, which were there at a June 26th adoption date. Because tomorrow's will be a public hearing with public comment, I'm going to skip through these slides. And we move on to our fund balance review. Under our policy CE, titled Annual Operating Budget, the board is to review adequate fund balance levels for both maintenance and operation, as well as a review of the GASB 54 requirements, where basically it will require board to either commit or assign funds out of fund balance for different purposes. So the first part of the policy that I'm going to review is the adequate fund balance levels. The policy, which was modified last year, indicates that a level of adequacy for the general fund balance should be no less than 2.5 months and no more than 4 months. Operating expenses for a month is 2.6 million for the district. So when we say no less than 2.5 months, that requires that we have at least $6.5 million in our fund balance. And no more than 4 months is equal to 10.4 million. Our current fund balance level in general fund is $10.8 million. We are in the process of our audit again for this current 11-12 school year. And as I move forward, I'll share with you what our projected additions to our different fund balances will be. Under our debt service fund balance, we have a debt service requirement of $6.1 million to pay for the upcoming 12-13 school year. That's our bond debt payment. The policy requires that we have no less than 15% of our bond requirement, bond payment requirement, which would be $928,000, and no more than 25% of our debt service requirement, which would be $1.5 million. Our current debt service fund is $4.3 million. So as you can see, we are with the fiscal year change and just watching how the expenditures and cutting certain funds or allocations earlier in the year will garnish additional savings for the district. So this is what our fiscal year 12 projections are going to be on our unassigned fund balance. Because the amounts I mentioned, the 10.8 and 4.3, are the fiscal year 11 fund balance amounts. So year ended June 30th, 2011. As I stated earlier, general fund ended with 10.8 and debt service with 4.3. Our year ending June 30th, 2012, which is unaudited at this point, we're in the process, we are estimating that we have an additional $1 million that is going to be recaptured and put back into fund balance. So we are estimating $11.8 million in the fund balance as of the 11-12 school year. Our debt service fund balance, we are estimating, well, we had to contribute $1.4 million to help with a debt service payment so that we could keep the tax rate at 25 cents. So we're looking at our projected debt service fund balance of $2.9 million for this fiscal year 12. Before we move on to the fund balance designations, do you have any questions?
Just
yes.
Real quick, when you come back, or on the, what's the 3 month on the operating expenses of the general fund balance in the same?
3 months? Mm-hmm. Well, it would be 2.6 times 3, so that'd be about 7.2 million.
So the board policy C is a local policy, correct?
Yes, and the level of adequacy the board set at the 2.5 months, where prior to last year we were at 2 months level of adequacy.
And so on the debt service requirement, mm-hmm. No greater than the 1.5, mm-hmm. is that's local policy as well, correct?
Yes, and that was at 10% last year. And was increased to that 15% level.
And what does our financial advisors recommend?
They generally, everybody is at either 3 months, 2 months, and between 2 months and 3 months. And I know that when we went to designate these levels last year, that was their recommendation. No, we are still within a healthy.
But looking at the debt service requirement, what is their recommendation when it comes to debt service?
The amounts that were proposed and adopted were reviewed, and they were accepted as adequate by the financial advisor.
Is that adequate? And if not, what is the optimal?
I can go back and
you
find out.
Find out? Okay. That's all I have for right now.
Okay.
So under this next section of policy CE is the GASB 54 resolution that requires detailed classifications of fund balance amounts. This is something that was incorporated last fiscal year, and so from here on forward, we'll have to be doing a monthly manual resolution with designations. The designations are categorized under non-spendable fund balance, restricted fund balance, and unrestricted. The committed fund balance within the unrestricted is where formal board action is taken, which is what's going to be proposed for you to review and approve or modify or recommend under committed fund balance. And then assigned fund balance is the board delegates authority to the superintendent or executive director of financial services. Currently don't have anything under assigned fund balance. And then we also have an assigned fund balance. So under the blue slides, I'm going to review, this is debt service so that we don't get confused between the debt service and M&O. Under the debt service fund balance commitments, we ended June 30th, 2011 with a $1.4 million allocation for debt service. This is to assist with our tax rate to maintain a 25 cent per home for the debt service payment. And for the year ending June 30th, 2012, which is right around the corner, we are administration is recommending a $1.1 million for assistance to provide debt service payments so that we can maintain a 25 cent tax rate one additional year before we start increasing that tax rate. So on this slide, what I'm showing you is as year ended June 30th, 2011, we had a fund balance of $4.3 million, as I mentioned earlier. And then the fund, INS fund contribution was $1.4 million. That leaves us a fund balance amount of $2.9 under debt service. For year ending June 30th, 2012, which again I'll mention is unaudited, we are seeing a fund balance of $2.9 with an INS fund contribution of $1.1 million, and that leaves a fund balance amount of $1.7 million. Now, if you see that little arrow to the yellow box, we are still above the no more than 25% requirement that the policy CE currently has as a designated adequate amount. And again, the additional funds is to maintain that tax rate. Under the yellow slides, now we're going to discuss fund balance for the general fund, okay? Year ended June 30th, 2011, the board allocated $250,000 for pre-K startup funds, and of which none has been used, and $500,000 cumulative for the Northwest Early College cafeteria. this is a roll forward from fiscal year 9 of $200,000, from fiscal year 10 of $150,000, and then last year's allocation of $150,000. I did also designate in that little blue box at the bottom, the total amount allocated for the Northwest Early College cafeteria is $1.1 million, because back in November of 2011, the board allocated $500,000 from 2006 funds to get to that $1.1 million needed for the cafeteria. Under year ending June 30th, 2012, we are allocating that additional $150,000, and this is where the discussion begins. There's several options or designations, and then I will mention, the first one, of course, is the fund balance year ending. If you see fund balance, 2011, there was $10.8 million. Then the allocation for the Northwest Early College cafeteria, and then the allocation for the pre-K startup is going to put it at $9.5 million. Year ending June.
Should 30th, we, excuse me, Madam Chair, should we, look at item C on the agenda, or just...
That's sort of what I thought, that I'm...
You want item C?
You want to close out, and then I guess we can open it up?
Okay.
Because then... really, this rolls over into item... It actually is item C.
Okay.
On the agenda, under 5. It's 5C. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to close out, and I was thinking if we open it to public today as well as tomorrow.
Just we got our camera.
Yeah. You could open it up. Was that it? And then,
because I think this is more appropriate. There's a whole other agenda item for this, so we'll open that back up. And with that, we have a member of the community here. I guess some of us are community members, but I think it'd be appropriate with the board's permission if we did open it up for to relax the rules, Robert's Rules of Orders, and. If Mr. Gallegos had anything to comment.
Thank you.
Okay. If not, you can come back tomorrow night.
I sure will.
Anybody else?
Anyone else have any thoughts or comments? Ms. Parker? Okay. Very well. Thank you for your presentation, Ms. Aguirre. Any comments or questions further on this budget presentation? No? Okay. Thank you very much, and we'll see you in a little while.
Okay.
Tony, that would take us to 3, the consent agenda.
Item 3, consent agenda, and administration recommends approval as presented.
Would anyone like to remove any of these for further consideration?
Madam Chair, I'd like to pull D, please.
Sure. Anybody else?
Madam Chair, I would like to pull E.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Looks like Tony. Then, could I have a motion for?
I'd like to move that we approve under consent agenda items 3A through 3C.
Thank you. Motion made and seconded to approve 3A, B, and C.
Mrs. Gassens?
Yes.
Mr. Cornado? Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes. And that would take us to D.
Item D is consider approval of contract for firewall, ductwork, and fire dampers for data center.
We're going to serve under the board, Dr. Murphy. I'm here before you have placed a board action for contract for firewall, ductwork, and fire dampers for our new IT.
Over here.
Building we're here, the room we're building here.
Ms. Kosaris,
Mr. Gatlin, the reason I ask that this be pulled is because, I know it's under the $10,000 threshold and all that, but I know that when we used this company in the past to do finance and the restrooms, there was a lot of issues as far as the timely manner that the job was completed. And the care that they took with our equipment and whatnot, it wasn't covered, there was dust, and I was just wondering, did you put it out to bid, or did you just go ahead and use him because we already used him, or?
We'd use him because he's already on site. He's actually done some of the work already, and so far they've done a pretty good job of it. So I know we did have issues in financial services. The reason we brought this to you, because we've already done work with him already this month.
So it's going to go over?
So it will exceed the $10,000. That's why I went ahead and brought it before you, so we didn't have any questions. We were trying to make sure that we were being transparent and making sure that we were bringing them to you.
Well, and, like, that's just my only concern, is because we did have issues in the past, and I didn't want to see that happen again. I know when we had the issue with the restrooms, he was supposed to turn it over by, like, the 7th, and it went well into February, the 7th of January. So I did know that there was issues in finance, so I kind of had reservations, and that's why I asked that it be pulled.
So far, one, I can see he's done a good job, and also by installing these fire ducts and the fire dampers, we're actually saving money, because we're not having to change out the whole new AC package in there. So we saved, I don't know, probably close to $20,000 because of this. It's a different option, so.
And who from our people is, like, making sure it's done right? And, I mean, have our people supervising as well? No?
No. This was a total RFP. We have Presidio, and they also bonded. They're totally bonded. They have their own electrical engineers, their own mechanical engineers. And we meet with them weekly. And what we were doing initially is that this was the same gentleman that had done the wall that was contracted early in the project. And I just didn't want this going on. And I went with the same person, because I could go to the same person and say, no, I'm holding you responsible. But then right behind, so the minute he gets done, the people that have no connection, which would be the mechanical and electrical from the Presidio, which are overseeing the whole project, which have guaranteed the project to us, are the ones that, so they're the third party, and they have much more credentialing than anyone.
I know you came in a little bit late. I asked Mr. Gavin why we went with this company, because I know when they did the finance portion, there was issues, and if I'm not mistaken, they did some of it incorrectly, and they never came back and fixed it, and he was saying he didn't want to come back and fix it, so I don't want to see that happen again.
No, and to answer your question is that this gentleman or this firm has been very responsive. And now I did get another firm that gave me I think it was like maybe $100 or $150 difference. And I cannot remember if it was more or less. But then I'd have another contractor in, and there would have been a third one. And the thing is, this gentleman has been working with, I mean, just for the few months that Presidio's been here, working with people that are highly trained, and I'm saying, you know, they're coming from, the Presidio, they're the mechanical, electrical. I have the electrical firm that's been coming here, and they're keeping me right up with it. And they let me know if there is a nail out of place. And they said, and I asked them, I said, you need to keep me informed daily. And they see me pull up in the morning, and I said, are there any issues? And all this is really for is the extension of the wall, which was put up, and then the dampers. I did go internal, and what the internal people gave me was $20,000 to replace the air conditioning units. I didn't put that kind of money in the budget, you know. And this is within the scope of work that I had originally specced out for the job that I'm doing. But I hear your concerns, and because of that, but I purposely just did this to keep it down to a specific vendor, but I do have almost like three watchdogs, because it's the electrical contractor, the mechanical engineer, and then also the city.
Inspectors.
I have my city inspectors that have come in, and so far everything, and the fire marshal, everything has been, we've been getting high marks on everything on that project. But I will continue to be over observant, if that's what you would like, to make sure to put your mind at ease.
Yes, please. Thank you.
I will.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Is this a cooperative?
Yes, they're under the Region 19 person cooperative.
The Region 19?
Yes.
And so we're going over the threshold?
Well, we will be with this 6,300 because we have used them for a few other small issues this year.
So aggregate.
Right, so aggregate. That's why I wanted to go ahead and be up front with you.
And I did it too because this was unexpected because of the fire damage, but when I saw the internal price of how much it was going to cost, I said, I didn't budget for that, and I need to get this room done. And we went back to the original plan. This is the original plan for the data center. And it came back at a much, and this is the exact same specifications that Presidio had. And they'll be right there. So if it's not meeting their needs, Presidio, the electrical contractor, and the mechanical engineer will let me know. But good questions.
In that case, Madam, motion to approve 3D.
I'll second.
Thank you, motion made and seconded to approve item 3D. Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
Item E is consider approval of contract for exterior painting of Canutillo Elementary School. Ms. Snellings.
My only question here is that we have two companies listed here, and there's no recommendation which company is being recommended, at least what I think here, I couldn't find it.
That's correct. We said that continue to change my recommendation, but I haven't heard from you. Welcome, Ms. Charles and Dr. Murphy. During our last board meeting, the members raised questions about the uniformity and scopes of work, work insurance requirements, prevailing wage rates, payment and performance bonds, being able to finish the work in a timely manner. All these things were designed to be resolved through a full procurement process. For the moment, I would recommend that we move forward with AO simply because they have several good recommendations in-house and because they propose to do the work in 15 calendar days less. However, in the future, what I would like to see is in order to address all these issues, that we move forward through doing these, even the most minutest projects, through your miscellaneous projects firm that you guys have already awarded, so that they can put those provisions in place.
I don't think we have you awarded them.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That's
thank
Dimensions
you.
Partnership.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Dimensions can put together something. It may not only be but something small for some of these projects, but it'll standardize the process.
Is part of the reason that you're recommending the fact that we have to go through a cooperative? Is that my understanding? Because Mackey's is not part of the cooperative.
And they're not a vendor.
Yes, and I believe that AO, the reason that they're part of a cooperative is because they had exceeded the amount we've spent some money with them so far. But it did go through a competitive three-quote process, so we're not using them then.
And the type of product that's being used, which one is recommended? Not done Edwards and K-Wall.
Yeah, they're going to use K-Wall. They're going to do several codes.
It'll be the elastomeric paint either way.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
The other issue here is that the block primer and the metal primer, it's not included.
Yeah, that's correct.
Is there a reason for that? I mean, one of the problems that we had on the, and Ms. Brigham would know, Alberetta, was the fact that that paint kept on coming off. So I wouldn't want to go through that process.
Correct. And I already approached each of the contractors to ask them to include some of these items. But of course, you're going back two and three times to standardize the scopes, right? Which is another problem of, you know, something that would be fixed through the RFP process. Some of them, they're just tired of resubmitting and only have a tight deadline. But I'm not opposed to hiring either AO or Mackey's. Either way is fine with me.
But what's the administration's recommendation, Ms.?
AO can very highly recommend it from several people in house.
So that's who you're recommending for this.
But my feelings won't get hurt.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Matthews, do we have an issue with the 15 calendar days or not?
No, not particularly. They can do the work. It's exterior work. It should be fine.
Yeah.
Do we have to go with somebody that's under a cooperative because of the purchasing?
No,
because we haven't exceeded the $50,000 for Mackey this year. If they were exceed that, then they would have to be on co-op before we do them again.
Unless we go out for a...
We're just doing the three-quote process, yeah. So you're free to choose Mackey's. They were in a list as a vendor, and we could award the job to them.
Thank you. I think that I don't know what to call it, our project here needs to include primer.
Yeah.
And it's not in there, so.
That's fine.
But how do you get it in there?
I can go back and ask if for the same price, AO will include the block primer.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to make a motion to approve Mackey's.
Mm-hmm.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion made and seconded to approve the contract for the exterior painting of the Kenya 2 Elementary School 2011 bond funds to go to Mackey's and to also get some primer.
What's
in there? Oh, okay. They've got the primer. Okay.
And in the future, we'll be using a dimension city.
Okay. So, Tony, motion made and seconded.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Cornejo?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes. And Tony, that would take us to number 4.
Executive session, and the time is now 7:40 p.m. The meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code, sections 551-071, 072-074, for discussion regarding the potential acquisition of real property, discussion regarding duties of internal auditor and certain administrative and clerical positions, discussion regarding Kenitio High School principal leave of absence, and discussion with legal counsel regarding the pending litigation of use of Baron versus Kenitio. Yeah. I see.